You're listening to a message that we hope will help you grow and have a deeper relationship with God and others.
Good afternoon, everyone. How many of you still watch NBA Finals? You're watching the NBA Finals now, okay? If you don't have any idea what I'm talking about, it's about basketball. And how many of you here, you're cheering for Cavs? How many of you here, you're cheering for the Warriors? I know the reason why. He's a Christian, of course. And so it's been interesting, the finals. It's been interesting. It's 2-2. Tomorrow is the next game. And when you watch the finals, it's interesting because it's focusing in those two, on those two star players. It's Curry and LeBron. And I think about this two fantastic athletes of what made them go up to the top and set them apart from what makes them different from the other athletes. Of course, when you think about LeBron and Curry, it's not just about the skills. Obviously, they're skillful, they're talented, and they've been playing basketball ever since they were young. But aside from that, what really made them set apart from athletes, from other athletes, is actually their set of disciplines. I Googled a few days ago when we were preparing for the message. One of our pastors Googled the rigid and the impeccable discipline of LeBron James. We realized that the discipline of LeBron James was not just about in the practice itself, not just in the game, but even in his diet. He would eat 6 meals a day, imagine that, but he won't eat anything. He had a strict diet of fiber and carbs, and it's complicated. It's actually science. And when you look at Stephen Curry also, of how he practices, it would really be, you would consider them as people who are actually men of, people of disciplines, rigid and impeccable discipline. I say that to us today because that's what we're talking about. Successful people will not be successful if they're not disciplined. Sets of discipline are actually important, not just in our work, not just in every area of life, but especially in our walk with God, in our relationship with God. That's what this series is all about, cross-training, because the Bible exhorts us that a person who wants to be strong in the Lord needs to have a set of disciplines. Paul said to Timothy, train yourself to be godly. Look at that word train. That word has a lot of meaning because it contains sets of discipline that you need to do consistently. Every day, there are sets of discipline. So discipline is not just used by business people. People who have a career. People who are in the sports world. But in terms of our spiritual life, disciplines also are important. For a person to be spiritually strong and healthy, we're going to look at 4 spiritual disciplines that the Bible exhorts us to have. One is prayer. I'm sure there are times already that when we prayed to God, we got slain by the Spirit. We didn't finish our sentence. We woke up the next day. All right? Because you're tired or you're sleepy. That happened to me before. Of another spiritual discipline, but that's what we're going to talk about today, is actually the Word of God. It's not just communing with God, but actually loving His Word. The third one is actually giving, a lifestyle of generosity. That for you to be a spiritually strong person, you need to have these sets of this. It's not exhaustive, but these are some important disciplines that the Bible encourages us to have. And the fourth one is fasting. I'm sure some are scared when it comes to fasting. They fast for one day, probably they'll die. They'll see the Lord soon, earlier. But no, don't worry about that. You won't die when you fast. But as we talk about this in this series called cross-training, we need to have these sets of discipline. Our approach when it comes to spiritual disciplines, we're going to focus on the story and the character of David. I'm sure when you hear the name David, David was a giant slayer. And yun yung impression natin. Our first impression of David is that he killed Goliath. That's true. That's true. But when you look at the story of David in 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel, he was actually not just a man who killed Goliath, he was a man who went through a lot of situations. In fact, if you would describe his life, he lived a roller coaster life. From success, he killed Goliath, but a few chapters after, you would see King Saul, his king that he was serving, got jealous of him and wanted to kill him. So the word that he received from Samuel when he was a teenager, probably 15 to 16 years old, and he was anointed to become king, didn't happen overnight. Didn't come to pass the next day. It didn't come to pass the week after. It didn't come to pass a year after. It took years. 16 years after. So when he killed, anointed to become king, that was a very encouraging word. I'm sure David was excited about it. But a few chapters after he kills Goliath, how many of you agree that's a success? That's a point of success. But then it did not come easy. King Saul wanted to kill him, so he ran away from Saul and hid in different caves. Years. He did that for years. That's why I described David's life. It was a roller coaster life, just like our lives. It's a roller coaster life. Did you know that some of the Psalms that David wrote were not actually written when he was in Starbucks or Seattle's Best one early morning? It wasn't that way. He wrote some of the Psalms when he was in the cave, when he was fearful and anxious. And after that, 14 to 16 years after, that's an estimate, King Saul dies and he becomes king. What happens? You think it's going to be a smoother life, but it didn't. Of course, there was a moral failure. He committed adultery with Bathsheba. After that, his own son tried to kill him. So you would see, I'm just giving us a summary of different things that David went through, not just the success, not just the failure, but the faith-testing and life-threatening situations. But the good thing about him is this: what made David resilient? Ever thought of that? In spite of all the things he went through, what made David strong, still resilient, and kept clinging to God? It's actually his disciplines. The discipline and the lifestyle of always running to God, no matter what happens. In fact, yung Psalms, it's not just a praise and a worship song to God. It was actually... It can be. We can consider that as a form of his prayer. He was pouring out his heart to God. But also, if you would see in 1 Samuel, he had a lifestyle of running to God by always wanting to inquire of the Lord. So what made him resilient? It's actually his discipline. Running to God through prayer and the Word. And that's what we're going to study today, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to look at Psalm 19. When he wrote this psalm, he had a realization of what the Word of God was like. Of all the painful situations he went through, and of all the situations where he was compelled always to run to God, and how, what the Word of God did to him, he describes it in Psalm 19. Now, we don't know the exact time of when he wrote it, but you would see some of his discoveries of what the Word of God was like and what the Word of God did to him. And that's what we're going to study today. If there's anything that will compel you and me, brothers and sisters, to have this discipline of always embracing the Word of God, not just on a Sunday 12 noon, but every day of our lives, these are the four compelling reasons that will motivate us. From the description of David, what was the Word of God like? And what was the Word of God? What does the Word of God do? And open your Bibles to Psalm 19. We're going to start on verse 7. This is the realization of David. And we're going to study, examine it. Why would David say that? Was he just being poetic? Was he just being artistic? Was he just being creative of describing the Word of God? No. We're going to examine every part, every phrase and every verse of this scripture so that we will be able to understand what it really meant to him. Psalm 19, verse 7. He said this, "The law of the Lord is perfect." That's what it's like. It's perfect. What it does? It revives the soul. You know, when you look at the word perfect, The word perfect is actually, you look at the meaning, it's actually complete, sound, not lacking anything. Whenever I hear the word complete there and studying that verse, it reminded me of an advertisement of a multivitamin. Centrum, you know that? From complete, from A to zinc. What are they trying to promote? What are they trying to convey? That Centrum solves all the body's needs from A to zinc. So if you're deficient in one of those from in between A to Z, Centrum can solve that. That's what the Word of God is saying. That's how David describes the law of the Lord is perfect. It's complete. It's comprehensive. It's not lacking anything. That means the Lord, God's Word, has a say on every issue that a human being faces. It can solve every issue that you and I face. What are those issues you're going through? Well, the relevant issues that we go through, work, right? How many of you are going through some difficulty at work? You have a terrible boss. Or probably some of you are going through financial difficulties. That's an issue, right? That is an issue. Some of you are going through marriage issues. Some of you are going through some challenging issues when it comes to disciplining your children. Some of you singles are going through some love life issues. Cool off ba? Cool on? We don't know. So we go through different situations. Now, I'm not saying it's not valid. It is relevant. It's a valid issue. All of us go through different kinds of situations. What David is saying, when the law of the Lord is perfect, he's saying God's word has a say on every issue that you're dealing with right now. It's perfect. Pastor, God's word, passe, phase out. Only historic, that's only, it's a historical book. Nothing more, nothing less. Yeah, it is a historical book, but it's not passe. You know why? Because God's word has a say on the relevant issues we're going through now. You're going through some financial issues, God's word has a say on that. Talking about budgeting and stewarding and investment, God's word has a say on that. God's word has a say on every issue. It's complete, it's perfect. That's why he said, it can revive the soul. When you start to have a discipline of loving the Word of God and reading the Scripture, it can revive you and me. Revive our inner being. Let's all admit it. Aminin na natin in Tagalog. Let's all admit it. Life is hard. Okay, some agreed. Yes. I think we're going to shortchange the church if we don't communicate that life is hard, that it's all about the blessing and the smoothness of life. No, it's not smooth. I'm sure the kids won't understand, but as we grow older, you know that life is hard. We face different battles in life. Situations in your family, situations in your business, situations when it comes to other things. I'm sure some of us, we came here today spiritually, emotionally, mentally drained. Because of life's battles. After an hour and a half of service, we go back and face the world again of all the different trials. So we get weak, right? We get weak. My question to us is this. When you are emotionally and spiritually exhausted and mentally drained, full of anxiety and swimming in the pool of fear, where do we run to? Who do we run to? Where do we draw our strength? Where do we draw our life from? Where? From other things? That's what the Word of God is saying. That's what David was saying. Every time I'm drained, every time I'm spiritually weak, every time when I'm in the sea of anxiety and doubt, and my future looks uncertain and my future is dark, I will run and hold on to your word. It's like a picture of a defibrillator. You know what I'm talking about? I haven't seen an actual defibrillator, but I always see it in Hollywood films. When a person goes on cardiac arrest and needs life, the nurses and the doctors put it on their chest to shock it and bring another dosage of life to make that person alive again, in short. Some of us are just barely surviving. I'm sure there are people that you encounter. Just take it one day at a time. Pastor, God is good. Yeah. I'm just barely surviving. Let me tell you, the Word of God will not just make you survive. The Word of God will make you thrive. Strengthen you. I sense that some of you came here and you are down spiritually. You are doubting God's promises. There are fears and worries in your life right now. Let me tell you, the Word of God can stir up faith in your heart. Hold on to Him. Hold on to His Word. That's what David experienced. Imagine, a lot of raiding armies wanted to kill him. His own son wanted to kill him. He went through a lot. He went through difficult and dangerous situations. But whenever he feels afraid, every time he feels afraid, he will run to God. That's my exhortation for us. We need this discipline of reading the Word of God. You know why? Because it's only the Word of God can create stability in our lives. You need a solid foundation. It's like an anchor. You know what an anchor is? You put it down, and it's hinged on the ocean floor, so when the winds come and storms come, it will not move. God's Word is the anchor for our soul. Revives it. Strengthens it. So how much more, whenever you get encouraged by the preaching of Pastor Joey and Pastor Christian every Sunday, 12 noon, after 12, you get encouraged, right? There's faith. Your heart is filled with faith. And you're ready to face the battle next week. And that's how powerful the Word of God is. But imagine this, if you do that every day. You start your day early in the morning while commuting, while driving. You start it. You inject it, you IV the Word of God, strengthens you, ready to face the battle every day. How many of you here agree that the Word of God is strong, it's powerful, amen? It can revive us. Come on, give Him praise. It can create faith in us. You need faith. We need faith, not just on a Sunday. You go to your office, you meet your clients, you go to your campus, you need faith. There are a lot of things there you'll go through. It will try and test you. If you're not holding on to something that's stable, it's dangerous. Verse 7, another part, he said, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. You know what sure means? It's faithful, not just guaranteed. You look at the Hebrew meaning of sure, it's faithful. That means it will never fail you. The Word of God won't let you down. That means the principles of the Word are trustworthy. You can bank your whole life and put your faith in that Word. In the New Testament, it says, God's promises are yes and amen. It's not just guaranteed, it's faithful. You wouldn't obey the Scriptures of God if you're not willing to believe it first. The reason why people don't obey the Scriptures is because they're not willing to put their trust in that Scripture. That's why they keep on asking, why? Why? Why should I do that, Pastor Joey? Why? Doesn't make sense. But because the root of disobedience is actually unbelief. If you're not really sold out for the Scriptures, you wouldn't really obey the Scriptures. Obedience is a byproduct of your trust in God. That's why people are willing to obey God's Word, because they're willing to put their whole life, trust God with all of their hearts. What David is saying here, you can trust God because God's Word is faithful. It's not going to fail you. And when you're able to trust God, then you're able to apply the principles of the Word. You're able to obey it. And when you're able to obey it, it brings wisdom. Brings wisdom in your life. You know what wisdom is? Wisdom is having the discernment to know what's morally right and what's morally wrong. That's wisdom. Not just to decide what's right and wrong, but to be able to have the ability to do what's right that will lead to the pleasure and honor of God. That is wisdom. Wisdom is not knowing everything from Genesis to Revelation. And everything is just stuck here. No. When we make decisions in life financially, relationally, in every aspect of our lives, we want to have wisdom. We want to discern, Lord, is this right? Lord, will this please you? And how will you be able to gain and increase that wisdom in your life? David is saying, love the Word of God. It's the Word of God that will help us discern things. What's morally right and what's morally wrong. By the way, what's your moral standard? Our moral standard and the basis of our moral standard is the Word of God. That's why it gives wisdom to you. You know, the successful people are smart. Successful people are smart. There are a lot of successful people around the world, but not necessarily living a life of wisdom. Pastor Paulo said this, being smart doesn't mean being wise. People have finished from a prestigious university and they have high-paying jobs and they're successful in their career, but it's very possible that also they're smart, they're successful, but they don't know what's morally right and what's morally wrong. Being smart doesn't mean being wise. What the Bible is saying is this, is that if you continue to have this discipline of reading the Word, gives you that wisdom aspect to be able to discern what's right and what's wrong. In that way, it will lead you also not just to the pleasure and honor of God, it will bring you success. That's what the Word of God is saying. The world will say, I have nothing against colorful resumes or master's degree. I have nothing against that. What the world is saying, if you want to be successful, be smart. That's what the world is saying. You want to be successful, have this skill, that's okay, I agree with that. But the Bible is deeper. What the Bible is saying, no, you want to be successful, live a life of wisdom. Have the discerning ability to know what's right and what's wrong. And as you please God, He will bless you exceedingly and abundantly. That's what the Word of God is saying. In verse 8, the precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. When you say the word right, it's righteous. The Word of God brings you into a righteous path. And when you know that you are in the right path, you are in the right calling where God has put you in, because you're obeying Him, it gives joy to the heart. That's what the Word of God does. Gives joy to the heart. Joy is not dependent on happenings. You can still be joyful in the midst of your problems. When you're going through a season of trials, faith testing trials now, and in the 3 p.m. and in the 8 p.m. where I'm assigned, I get to see the prayer requests of our congregation. I read that and I pray for that every week. Pastor Joey does that too here, that he gets to read those prayer requests and he prays for you every week. We know that there are different situations that we go through. It's difficult and it's hard. So we know that. But don't you know, even as you go through those things, it can still give joy to you? You can still live a life of joy. Happiness, sabi nila, happiness is based on happenings. Joy is something that's stronger. Joy cannot be taken away from you just because you're going through some tough times. Joy can be attained by knowing I'm in the righteous path that God has put me in. Then joy starts. That's why when David committed adultery with Bathsheba, almost a year after, he repented, confessed his sins. That's why he wrote Psalm 51. He said, what was his prayer? He said, restore to me the joy of your salvation. What David was saying is that when he committed adultery with Bathsheba, he got convicted because of his sins, and he wanted back. He wanted the forgiveness of God. One of his prayer requests to God, he said, Lord, I know I was far from you. That's why there's no wonder I'm feeling sadness, depression, and sorrow in my heart, because I'm far from you, because I committed this sin. That's what David was saying. But he said, now I'm turning back to you and restore to me the joy of your salvation, because there's nothing like knowing that I have a strong relationship with God. How many of you are glad that you have a relationship with God? Amen? Even though how many tons of problems you're carrying on your shoulders, there's nothing like knowing, friend ko pa rin si Lord. I have a relationship with God, and that creates joy. That creates joy and gives me that joy. People are looking for peace of mind. How many of you here you ask God for peace of mind? At least once. Okay, really? The people are already peaceful. The people don't raise their hands. I'm sure all of us, Lord, give me that peace of mind. There's nothing wrong with that prayer request. But you know, some people, the reason why they don't have a peace of mind, because they haven't experienced peace with God. They're not on the right path. There are some that experience that. So the peace of mind comes, it comes from knowing that I have peace with God. That's what the Word of God does. I'm in the righteous path. The peace of the Word of God brings me to a path where I'm walking alongside with God. Thus, it creates joy in my heart. My sister, fortunately, a month ago, lost her husband. My brother-in-law was battling with leukemia 1.5 years. So they were in and out of the hospital. It cost them millions to go through different procedures and treatment. And 1.5 years later, just a month ago, didn't make it. And now my brother-in-law is in heaven. Thank God he's a Christian. And so my sister was, or even right now, is still in the season of grieving and mourning. And some of you are widows here and widower. You know what I'm talking about. It's hard to lose a wife and a husband. So she's sad, going through a lot. And then so every other night, my wife and I will ask her, how is she? How are you doing? We're encouraging her. We're praying for her. But yeah, there's still sadness. And you can really sense a difficulty that she's going through, of what she's going through. But one time last week, 2 weeks ago, she made a decision she said, for therapeutic sake. She'll go to stay in a hotel first for one night. And because it seems like her life was like rebooted and reset, because now she's a widow and she no longer has a husband and she has to take care of her kids. So she wanted to hear from God, hoping that the pain will go away and improve a little bit. And so she said, I'm going to go in the hotel first, overnight, alone, and I'm going to read God's word. I want to hear just an encouragement, a confirmation that I'm still on the right path. And so that's what she did. She asked, she left her kids first for one night and she meditated on God's word. You know, an hour after that night when she was in a hotel and just praying and seeking God, she opened the word. She was so joyful. She started texting all of us an hour after, and the Lord spoke to her. And she said the Lord spoke to her in Isaiah 61 and Isaiah 62 when the Lord said, I will comfort those who mourn. 61 and 62 was actually a message of the Lord is a turnaround specialist. You may be mourning now, but life isn't all that there is. You have me. I am forever. I will turn and change things around. And so she was so excited and she was so joyful. I can sense her joy through her text. And then she sensed that and she took ownership of that and she prayed that verse in Isaiah 61 and Isaiah 62. Brought joy to her in the midst of her loss and of her sadness. She was able to stand strong because of the word of God. That's my encouragement for us. The word of God give joy to you. And I pray that as you read the Bible each and every day, you will hear from Him. You'll hear from Him. Not just on a Sunday. When you open the Word. That's my hope. You will hear from Him. Whatever encouragement you need, affirmation, whatever you need at this season, you would hear from God. And then verse 8, the last part, he said, the command of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. When you say pure, it's clear, but also enlightening the eyes. That means it opens and removes not our eyes, but our blindness. Takes away the blinders in our eyes. And helps and guides us along the way. That's what you mean in the Word of God. That's what the Word of God does. It gives light to the eyes. I'm sure we encounter people who are spiritually blinded. And have you ever tried sharing the gospel to the person is just closed-minded? You ever experienced that? You ever experienced that in your own life before? Someone tried sharing the gospel to you. Oh, nonsense, nonsense. We're just closed-minded. We're just blinded by our own depravity and by our sins and by our pride. What the Word of God does is this, because it's pure. It's like a reflection. Removes the blinders in your eyes. Start experiencing the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And it makes you see God in a better light. And makes you see yourself also in a clearer way. That's why James, in the book of James, he describes the Word of God as like a mirror. You start seeing the righteousness of God and you start seeing your own depravity and your own sins. It's like a mirror. It gives a reflection of who you are. That's how David describes that too. The Word of God gives light to the eyes. In fact, as you continue to study the Word of God, it changes some of our mindsets. You know, in our Filipino culture, crab mentality is so strong, right? You get jealous of our neighbor, start pulling them down. Instead of rejoicing with them when they're successful, we start pulling them down. Different Filipino mentality. If you're a foreigner here, I'm just orienting you of what the common mindset that we have. We're probably like yung pwede na yan, di ba? Or average mentality or mediocrity. Those mindsets, whatever mindsets we have, it's broken when we start reading the Word of God. When we start embracing it and understanding what the Scripture is saying. I'm going to end here with this story of Andrew Chan. Andrew Chan is actually a member of Bali 9 drug smuggling group. Now, if you're not familiar, Andrew Chan was actually executed in Indonesia. Because he got caught of drug smuggling in, I think, 1.5 months ago. If you remember Mary Jane Veloso, Mary, that was supposed to be her batchmate. But thank God, Mary Jane Veloso was saved. Andrew Chan was executed 1.5 months ago. Stories will tell us, before he was executed, he was actually singing to God. He was actually singing Amazing Grace and Blessed be the name of the Lord. Bless my soul, rather. He was actually a Christian. He was miraculously saved. What happened to Andrew Chan is when he got in prison, there was a Bible that was given to him and he started reading it. At the time of his solitude, no one was preaching to him. He was alone in his prison cell. In his hardship and the darkest time of his life, he opened the Word of God, the Bible, and started reading the Gospels. Started reading about Jesus. Started reading about the love and the mercy of Jesus and all his works. Starts reading about it. And what happens is just then tears started to fall from his eyes. He starts to see his own sinfulness. He starts to see his own guilt, his own depravity. In short, it gave light to him. Opened his eyes. He was blinded by money. He was blinded by pride. He was blinded by the success of the world. When he saw the Scripture, it opened his eyes. He starts to realize it's only God he needed in this life. It's only God who can bail him out. He was radically transformed. Surrendered his life to Jesus. And he started committing his life to God by preaching the gospel to other people, to other prisoners. And so for years before he died, he actually had a Bible study group in the prison, in his prison. He started reaching out to different prisoners. And even to the point when he was about to be executed, he was giving his whole life to God. How many of you believe that there's no person that's far from God's grace? Any person God can save. It's through the word. And that's what happened to him. When you look at this, how David describes what the word of God is like and what the word of God does. Revives his soul. It gives wisdom to the simple, to the open-minded, to a teachable heart. Gives joy to the heart. Gives light to the eyes. It was actually, it's in the person of Jesus Christ. We were spiritually dead, but Jesus saved you and me. Jesus is the joy and the horn of our salvation. Jesus is the joy of our salvation. Jesus is our light. He's the light of the world. And so this spiritual discipline of praying to God and reading His word actually just stems from having a relationship with Jesus. You fall in love with a person, spiritual disciplines will follow. Devotion, discipline will follow. And that's my hope for us, brothers and sisters, that I know we're all busy. We're all busy here. We're busy with our school. We're busy with our work. But my hope for us is more than the spiritual disciplines that we need to have. My hope is that we will fall in love with Jesus more and more and more each and every day. How many fear? That's your heart. I want to fall in love with Him. I want to know Him. Devotion and the discipline will follow. Can we just all stand before me? And I'm going to ask the worship team to come. We're just going to sing. I'm going to ask Sean to lead us to worship. You know, diba, when you are married, or some of you are dating, so like James, some of you are engaged, just a relationship. When you're happily married, and when you're dating someone, when you're courting someone, you love that person, you're not just attracted to that person, but you love that person. You know what I'm talking about, right? You will make time. You will make time for that person, even if you have a lot of eye bags already. You're tired from work, but you still want to make a way to text that person. Where are you? What are you doing? Who's with you? I miss you. You'll make a way because you're in love with that person. I think that's a picture of spiritual disciplines. You're in love with God. Falling in love with Jesus every day. I'm devoted to Him. So when I'm devoted to Him, I think reading my Bible and praying to Him is not a burden. They're not. It's actually a delight. So that's my prayer for us, that you will fall in love with God more. He will create that desire in us so that we can have these spiritual disciplines in our lives. Amen? Can we just pray, Lord, create that desire in us? May we fall in love with You more. That's why David was described a man after God's own heart. He wasn't perfect, but he was just a man who was deeply in love with his God. And give us that spirit too, Lord. May we fall in love with You. May we not be blinded by the pleasures of the world. But may You open our eyes to see today, Lord Jesus, that You are the only one. You loved us first, and now we can love You back. And for people here who've been a Christian for a long time, I sense that there's spiritual dryness. I pray that You would shift them from spiritual dryness into a season of just encountering You in a new way. Remove the spirit of familiarity in us. Remove that, Lord God. Some of us have just been so hard. You would soften those hearts even right now. And may we encounter You in a great way, Lord. Just lift our hands to God. Lord, You will remove every spiritual dryness. Some of us, Lord, we don't feel You because we don't feel our emotions are failing us. But Lord, we won't be driven by our emotions. We will walk by faith. And so I cast and renounce and rebuke spiritual dryness, Lord God. The spirit of pride, I kick that out in the name of Jesus. Spirit of sensitivity will come. And spirit of familiarity will not be welcome in our lives. Lord, we will fall in love with you and we will encounter you each and every day in a new way, Lord God. Lord, we will, some of us, Lord, we gave up already in thinking, I've graduated from finishing the Bible already. Remove that thought in the name of Jesus. And we will give, you will give us that childlike faith. The last time, the first time we got saved and how excited we are, bring that back again, Lord Jesus. Increase that passion in our hearts to seek you through the word and by always praying to you, Lord God. Bless our week. May your righteousness, your peace, your favor be with us today. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. 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 Happy Sunday. God bless you, everyone. You're dismissed. If you need prayers, we'll be here to pray for you.
Thank you for listening. More messages are available for download at joeybonifacio.com. It is our hope that you will have a deeper relationship with God and others.